Turn your Bibles today to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Could I mention this morning, I think there's a major thought that I can see as I read this psalm, and that's a simple thought that God is a communicator. God is a communicator. And I want us to think in terms of that thought as we look at this psalm today. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit to the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Moreover, to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for such a precious passage of Scripture. We know all of the Word of God is precious, but this morning this passage particularly is precious. As we read it, As we're reminded of the great truth that you are a communicator, you've spoken, you are speaking. Now, Father, this morning, bless not only as we've read the word, but bless the preaching of it thereof. Pray today for the requests of our church. Bless us now as we spend time together around the word of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Seems that a great thought that we can see as we read this psalm is the fact that God is a communicator. You know, I'm thinking this morning of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 10, where Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Speak, for thy servant heareth. I think of Hebrews chapter 1, God who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. God is a communicator. I believe that not only has God spoken, but I believe that God is speaking. I believe that God will speak. I believe that God has something to say to all of us today. I believe that God is a communicator. It's wonderful to know that. Now, there's a lot that can be said this morning in terms of communication. Now, what is communication? Communication is actually the exchange of ideas. It's the exchange of ideas. What is the purpose of communication? When people communicate, they exchange ideas. We talk, we listen. Of course, some people it's more we talk, we talk, we talk. For some people, it's idle chit-chat. But you see, basically, communication is for great purposes. We communicate, we exchange ideas. Now, for some people, communication is viewed, is looked upon as a teaching moment, an opportunity to exchange or to share something that is important. Now, by the way, have you ever been around people that it seemed like they always want to be in a teaching mode? It seemed like they're more apt to teach than to be taught. There are people that way. Now, I share this with you by way of an illustration, somewhat of a humorous thing. Every Wednesday at lunchtime, I pick Carol up and we go out for lunch. Drive down to Greensboro, we go out for lunch. And I've noticed, as a general rule, that our trip to the restaurant is a teaching moment. Invariably, I will hear Carol say, "You know you should be in that lane over there." "Chuck, you should know by now, you've driven this route enough, you ought to know what lane we should be in." And I humorously tell her, I say, "Well, it's good for us to get together again for this teaching moment." Now that I've tried to get your attention with some humor that didn't go over too well, let's come back now to the text, though. God is a communicator. God who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past. He spake. One of the most disappointing experiences is when people talk and you don't listen. I'm sometimes bad about that. Do you ever have that trouble? People trying to say something and maybe you don't hear them. Or maybe you hear them and your mind is on something else. And that's really not good. And I'll admit that. I figured I'd wait and save that confession today for church. Confession's good in church. I'm telling you this morning, sometimes I don't listen as well as I should. Now, let's go ahead and turn this into a testimony meeting. How many of you have got faults, y'all? Language should not be wasted. Communication should always be valuable. God has always intended that communication, and especially when God speaks, we need to be hearing. In Revelation chapter 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." If any man hear my voice. Could I say this morning that when God speaks, we ought to perk up and listen? I believe a church time is an important time. And I believe that when a preacher stands, and it's not just the fact of the name involved, it's the fact of the position, when it's a calling of God, is a position that warrants people listening. Communication is important. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." The heavens declare the glory of God. And the Bible goes on and says in verse number 2 that they're never silent, basically, day unto day. There is not a time, but what you can walk outside and look up at the heavens. You can see heaven speaking, in a sense. There is communication. You see, we call that natural revelation. The Word of God is special revelation, but there's still natural revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And then day unto day, there's not a time that the communication ceases. Heavens are never silent. Creation testifies to what God has wrought, but the Word of God testifies to what God has written. Creation says, "Look at the power of God." The Word of God says, "Look at the grace of God." We see the power of God in creation. We see the grace of God in His Word. General revelation is a language of creation. Spatial revelation is a language of Scripture. Creation is a miracle, isn't it? It's a miracle. In fact, God is the author of miracles. He really is. But I want to say this morning that the greatest miracle is not simply creation, but the new creation. The new creation. It's a miracle that God created natural creation, but it is really a miracle when God saves a soul. When Jesus comes, like the song says, God is a God of miracles. Now, I believe in miracles, don't you? I heard of an 11-month-old baby that was found in Tennessee. A devastating tornado went through Tennessee years ago. Everything was destroyed in its path. The house was carried 150 yards from its original place. The child's mother was killed. There was nothing but destruction and devastation all around. As people were there looking through the debris, trying to find bodies, they saw a helpless little 11-month-year-old baby lying there with his face in the mud. At first, the rescuers thought that maybe it was just a little doll laying there. Then they noticed it moved. And that child lived. That child came through that tornado without even a scratch. You tell me that God doesn't exist. You tell me that God doesn't work. God speaks. He's a God of miracles. He's a God who is at work in this world. You see, if people today would only use their minds besides in the pursuit of idle activity and do some thinking. I'm talking about doing some real thinking and letting that thinking sometimes not be book thinking. I'm talking about common sense thinking. I'm talking about simply going outside, looking up at the heavens and saying, by seeing those stars, God did that. Even Albert Einstein, the great mind that he had, Einstein admitted at one point that the cosmos or the world was too complex to not allow for superintelligence. A leading astronomer wrote in his book, he said, if, emphasis on the word if the universe was exploded into being. There are those that have believed in what they call the Big Bang Theory. He said, if the universe exploded into being, he said, what caused the effect? Where did the energy come from? The energy had to have a source. Looking here at Psalm 19, if you're prone to look for an outline or division, let me give it to you. Verses 1 through 6, God speaks in the skies to declare His glory. Verses 7 through 11, God speaks in Scripture to declare His grace. Verses 12 through 14, God speaks to the soul to declare His guidance. God is a communicator. Going back to the first point, God speaks to creation to declare His glory. I can't get away from Hebrews chapter 1. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, in upholding all things by the word of His power, When he by Himself had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's Hebrews chapter 1. Now, I want you to think of one part of what I just read. This same God who speaks. The Hebrews writer said, upholding all things by the word of His power. Upholding all things by the word of His power. You realize if God would release His grasp on creation, it would be hurled into confusion. If God would take His hand off of anything for one second, there would be nothing but lifeless existence. He upholds all things by the word of His power. He controls all things. He keeps all things intact. Think about that for just a moment. He controls all things. The same universe and universes and constellations and stars and planets out there in space, not only is God the author of them, but God also controls them. He upholds all things by the word of His power. He keeps the stars from crashing into this earth. He keeps the planet. He keeps the planet in orbit. He does it all. He controls. He upholds all things. You know, it's interesting when you think about it. It's interesting to think about the power of God when you look up in space. The distant constellations, for example. You see, astronomers have yet to invent a telescope that can even begin to focus and can see the perimeters or beyond the perimeters of our outer space to any extent. In other words, the strongest piece of equipment that can enable us to see distant stars is just a drop in the bucket. When you think of the vastness of space and the constellations out there. Now, amazing to think about this. Light traveling at 186,000 miles a second, seconds takes thousands of years to reach us. In other words, constellations. Here's the point I'm trying to make here. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second. Now, do you realize when we go out at nighttime and we look up at the heavens and we see those stars out there in space, we might be looking at stars that's been dead for thousands of years. Fact. They're so far away. They're so far away. They've died years ago. Why am I saying that? The point is simply this. Stargazing might help us a little bit when it comes to realizing that all of that didn't just happen. God did it. God did it. He put the stars in space. Isaiah 42, thus saith the Lord, God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Isaiah 42. Psalm 104. Who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be moved forever. That it should not be moved forever. When you read the word moved in its context, it has the thought, it doesn't wobble. It doesn't wobble. Now, you know, scientists discovered, is this quite right? It seemed like a little hollow here or something. Get up real high. Scientists discovered in 1959 that the earth is perfectly balanced. Now, why am I saying all this? I hope that we realize even more that creation is not only attributed to God, but creation is orderly. But scientists discovered in 1959 that the earth is perfectly balanced. They discovered that whereas you have mass on one side of the earth, let's say mountains, mass, you will find mass on the opposite side of the earth, perfectly balanced. Have any of you ever had the problem of a tire out of balance? What do? They take the tire, they put weights at certain points where they can get it in balance. So your car won't shimmy when you drive it. That's what you call balancing. Have you ever had a ceiling fan that made a racket? You had to apply a weight to some of the blades to cause there to be a balance. You see, this earth is balanced. Now, Isaiah 40, think about this. Who hath measured the waters in a hollow his hand, and meted out heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the mountains, listen to this, in balance. I'm telling you, the wise God that put all of this together keeps it under control. You hear the people preaching global warming, warning of all these things that could happen. I just believe this morning that the God that put life in motion is the same God that will sustain that life. Do you know that this earth that you and I walk upon, if it was 1 degree closer to the sun, we'd all fry. If this earth was 1 degree further from the sun, we'd all freeze to death. If the moon was larger or smaller, tides would destroy our coastlines. If surface gravity on this earth was any stronger, the earth would retain too much ammonia and methane. If it was any lighter, the earth would lose too much water. If the magnetic field of this earth was any stronger, electromagnetic storms would destroy us. If the earth's crust was thicker, it would absorb too much oxygen. If it's too thin, volcanic activity would make life impossible. If the carbon dioxide level was stronger or greater, the greenhouse effect would kill us. If the tilt, and by the way, the tilt of the earth itself is crucial for the earth's temperature. I just believe this morning that God knew what He was doing. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Every season of the year causes my heart to rejoice. I wrote a little article and placed it in the newsletter for this week. It might be a winter, but I'm still alive. I thought of the illustration of that little mom, and I, you know what? I thank God for the fact that the older I get and the longer I serve God, the more I can see the handiwork of God in everything. That little mom, being perennial, I noticed some greenery, some life, even during this winter time. And there's a message there. There's still life there. There's the dead of winter. There's the coldness of winter. But there's still life there. And I honestly have got to the place in my life that when I can see plants growing, when I can hear birds singing, when I can see the stars shining, it causes me in my heart to say, thank God for the resurrection of Christ. I can see the cross work of Christ. I believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the reason why the grass grows. Everything is focused around the glorious accomplishment of Jesus Christ. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Then could I say today, and we look at these verses here, we see verses 7 through 11. He speaks in the Scriptures to declare His grace. When you read 7 through 11 there, you will notice precious truths about the Word of God. The Word or the law is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Moreover, to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The stars speak of God's power, but the Scriptures speak of God's person. We look here at these verses, and the key thought is the Bible. It's the Word of God that's being referenced here. We can see the Bible does a lot of great things. The Bible saves, converting the soul. The Bible saves. The Bible makes wise, as we've seen there. The heart is affected. The eyes are affected. If you look there at the verses, you'll see the heart is affected, the eyes are affected, and the Word of God is clean, it's enduring, and it's true. It's all right there. The precious Word of God. In fact, could I say this morning, based upon what verse number 10 says, the Bible is more precious than gold. It says, more than be desired are they than gold. More precious than gold. You know, creation says God's powerful, but the Bible says God really cares and gives grace. In creation, I see His arm. But in the Scriptures, I see His heart. You see, the Word of God converts. The Word of God makes wise. The Word of God opens up our eyes that we can see more clearly. Yes, God speaks through Scripture. And I need to remind us all again this morning that that's what church service is. It's a communication of the Word of God. It's giving the Scriptures. Now again, go back to what we said earlier when we started. Communication shouldn't be wasted. Since we believe this morning that God speaks, and we believe that, since He speaks in the heavens, and He speaks through the Word, and when we stand up and preach that Word, God is speaking. God is speaking. Can you imagine, think about this for just a moment, can you imagine just simply turning our head away from God? Can you imagine? So let's say, for example, that God appeared in this church service in bodily form and walked up to us and stood in our presence and gave us His Word or spoke to us, and in speaking, His speaking was in the form of a command. Would any of us be so foolish as to look God in the face and say, I'm sorry, I don't want to hear that. Or I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do that. We wouldn't have the nerve, would we? But now wait a minute. The Bible says you must be born again. That's God's Word. If He was standing in the pulpit, He'd say that. He can say it in the Word and we ignore it, but if He said it in person, we'd say, I better listen. What's the difference? When God speaks, we need to listen. I will say this morning, when God speaks, for example now, let's go at it from this direction. God speaks to His people. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's God's Word. That's God speaking. We ought to do that then. We ought to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Again, how could we have the courage or the audacity to say no to God? Well, people do that all the time in church services. We preach the Word of God. We hold invitations. And the Bible says the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God wouldn't say it any different. He wouldn't say it any different. But let a preacher of the gospel preach that, and people think he's just a preacher. He's just a preacher. So I don't have to listen. Well, I've got some news here this morning. He might be just a preacher, but this Word is not just a word. The person behind the message is to be listened to. God speaks. Heaven say He's powerful. The Word of God says He can save. He can comfort. He can bless. You this morning in this church service that are battling problems in your life, that have issues and troubles and burdens and heartaches and cares, draw some comfort from Scripture. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's God speaking in and through His Word, isn't it? Listen to that verse just as quickly as you would listen to God if He were here. And He is here in His Spirit. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. That's the Word, but that's still God. Listen. Listen to what it says. So I'm saying this morning, we really do need to get serious about paying attention to this communicating God. Again, a look into the heavens says He's all-powerful, but a look into His Word says He actually can work in and through human beings and do something in people's lives and give victory in people's lives. But now finally, the last thing we need to note is this. He speaks to the soul to declare His guidance. Look, please, with me now at... Look at verse number 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. He speaks to declare to the soul to declare His guidance. You see, God communicates. He would guide us. He would say to us this morning, He would say, watch those presumptuous sins. He gives guidance. He gives guidance. Every church upon the face of this earth that preaches the gospel would be growing in leaps and bounds. More people would be saved. More of God's people would be revived if people would take serious the fact that when God speaks, He expects to be listened to. There's enough power in one gospel message to save every soul upon this earth and to revive every church on the face of this earth if people would start listening more. Too many of us treat God just like we treat one another. When people are talking, we're looking the other direction. I've already made my confession on that. And it's not good. But I'm telling you, when God speaks, we need to look right in His face in the Scriptures and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, help us to understand that You are indeed a communicating God. And Lord, You don't communicate just to talk. Lord, you're not guilty of idle chit-chat. Everything You say, dear Lord, has substance, has meaning, can give help. We know that even the Scriptures were written aforetime for our learning, that we might be instructed. Oh, my Father, this morning, help us to get serious about listening. Help us to be better listeners. Heads bowed.